CliffCentral.com. We are living in interesting times. Things just changed over a space of 1 week in Zimbabwe. From the 14th of November to the 21st of November, things went upside down in our beautiful nation. From being married for 37 years to Robert Mugabe, who's now former president for Zimbabwe, I never thought I would actually say that in my entire lifetime, to entering into our single days as a nation for just a few days, and now into a new courtship with Emmerson Mnangagwa. Everything just happened over a space of just 1 week. You know, it's incredible what things can happen actually in that space. It's a Gilmore T vibe on Cliff Central. The handles are at Gilmore TEE and at CliffCentral.com. The hashtag is GTEE vibe. Let us talk Zimbabwe. Right, so if you tuned in last week, I was joined by social commentator Itai Moroi and also a multi-award nominated hip-hop artist Wanda, who helped me to just further analyze the national address by the Zim Defense Forces, the press statement by Comrade Chipanga, now ex-leader of the ZANU-PF Youth League, and also the not coup d'etat situation of Zimbabwe. 7 days later, Zimbabwe has a former president, new president, and a new era full of some hope, per se. So today I'm talking about Zimbabwe in the past week. What happened exactly? Where are we as a people? What is the future and what does it hold for us as Zimbabweans? I'll reflect on the Solidarity March that happened on Saturday, the 18th of November. Nationwide in Victoria Falls, in Bulawayo, in Harare, it happened all over the shore. People came out in their numbers and they marched for one cause, which is a beautiful thing because I haven't seen that in Zimbabwe for quite a very long time. And also to the National Day of Prayer, which happened the following day on Sunday, and where churches were just asking the congregations to come together and pray for the nation, Zimbabwe. To the removal of former President Robert Mugabe from the chair and leader of ZANU-PF position, and to the most anticipated speech of all times. I think everybody was glued to the TV, and ZBC, the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation TV, should have received their highest viewership. Because I actually checked out on their Facebook, they had like over 200k of people viewing the anticipated speech, which didn't actually have anything that people were waiting for. And also just to the disappointment after the speech, to the impeachment letter that was released on Monday by the ZANU-PF Secretary for Information and Publicity, Ambassador SK Moyo, to the parliament on Tuesday the 21st, and to the resignation letter from the now former president of Zimbabwe, Robert Mugabe, to the celebrations by the citizens, and to now the appointment of Emmerson Mnangagwa as president of Zimbabwe. I need a breather after saying all those things. Lord, it feels like a lifetime of activities and events happening just over a very short period of time. So you don't want to miss today's episode. Make use of the hashtag GTEE vibe. I'm getting carried away. So make use of the hashtag GTEE vibe on all social media platforms, your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram, all over. And also tweet us at GilmoreTEE and at CliffCentral.com. My name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen, and let's get on into it. And joining me in studio again is Itai. We should actually give you a permanent job right now.
And I think I enjoy being in the studio with you. I'll clearly accept it. How much are you paying?
We won't give you much. Maybe we'll give you bonds. Or they would have expired maybe in the new Zimbabwe. I don't know.
It's good to be back here. Hello, Tua. How are you?
What's up?
You had to say hello, so you always do that. Last week you said hello, welcome to studio, to me.
So it was quiet.
Ah, okay. Right. Maybe still trying to consume all the things that have been happening over this 1 week. I mean, so much, like such mixed emotions, you know, because there's a time when we're very excited on Saturday during the march. Did you actually go for the march?
Yes, I did. And it was interesting, you know, looking at the cops folding their arms, they couldn't do anything, and watching the people marching peacefully. There was nothing untoward that happened. People just marched against the president, or the former president.
The former president. It feels exciting.
The president by then.
Huh?
The president by then.
Yeah, he was the president by then. Yeah. I even said.
But now he's the former president.
Yeah, after 37 years. Everybody's excited about it, I guess. Well, I don't know.
We all are excited, and also we are cautious looking into the future. Where are we going? Where are we now? Mm-hmm. What then from here? You know, it's one thing trying to move someone from a position, but then the future looks scary at times, looking like, because there's an expression that says, better the devil that you know. Now you're bringing a new devil. Yeah, now, yeah. You know, it's,
but I think we know this devil. We've known this
we've
devil.
We've known him for a while.
For 37 years. Being you know, Robert Mugabe's weapon, you know, a lot of the bad things that have happened that our government has done have been attributed to the devil that we don't know that we know
that we know.
but the challenge now is how much influence did he have in the whole setup? Sometimes you are doing a master's biddings, you are told to jump, you don't have to ask why, you just ask how high. And so maybe now we that. Now that he's the one giving instructions, wait to see how he directs how he directs the country.
Listen, we're gonna get back to that actually, because that's an interesting topic. But then talking about the Solidarity March, there was a lot of criticism on social media, people saying that they won't participate because it's a ZANU-PF organized event. Why did you participate? Why did you feel the need to participate?
It wasn't a ZANU-PF thing. This is the one time the country of Zimbabwe came together
after
for a cause.
Yeah.
And the cause was, let's remove Mugabe from the throne. So this wasn't about ZANU-PF. This was a national agenda, because everyone was just sick and tired of being sick and tired of Robert Mugabe.
Of being sick and tired of Robert.
And one other thing that emerged for me was how there were no police, and yet
right?
There was no crime.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing damaged. I like on the marches on Saturday, unless if my sources, my information is wrong, no one was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And no one died. There was no damage to property. The only damage that was there to any property was the removal of what you call this
street name,
the street names. Yes, the street name Robert Mugabe. People were removing those signs, you know, and doing all sorts of to do things with them, you know. But besides that, no damage to property, nothing, no one hurt, which goes to prove in society we actually do not need police.
No,
police are just politicians' weapons at the end of the day.
They are there to loot our money.
They are there to,
and being corrupt.
Yes, to propel corruption. If you put a police officer in such a scenario, you cause the problem.
Yeah.
So are you saying all along our police people have been the problem?
They've always been the problem. Since during colonialism, after independence, the police have always been the problem. This is where you see everything's going on the way it's going on until the police show up. People start dying, people start getting hurt, property starts getting damaged and all that kind of stuff.
But then there was a question raised on Saturdays. People were afraid that there might be a lot of accidents because the police are all of a sudden absent. And also if there's a crime that happens or someone gets into an accident, the first person that they would approach prior was the policeman. But now that they were not there, what was that all about? What could it do for us as a people?
But now, this is my point. That's my point, where there were no accidents. People were doing donuts in the middle of the street, driving in reverse, people marching in the middle of the road, stopping traffic, doing all, you know, people were actually controlling traffic themselves.
Yeah, which was a beautiful thing.
Like individuals, beautiful like thing. When the march is coming through and suddenly a taxi driver thinks he's in a rush because the client's in a rush, they would stop, hey, stop, chill. Park over there, let the march come through, then you'll pass.
Yeah.
You know, people, even in Hillbro, okay, but that's a different day.
It was actually just not in Zimbabwe.
Not all over Zimbabwe. Everywhere, people were controlling traffic by themselves.
You know, the most interesting thing about Saturday is if you guys thought it was a beautiful moment to go and have drinks outside the Parliament House.
Yeah.
And not only they have drinks for Saturday night, they had drinks into Sunday morning. Early Sunday morning, the guys just literally came there with their cooler boxes and playing music and all that. And I was like, wow.
And nobody arrested them.
No, I think we need the army on our streets.
No, but the army, let's talk about how cool the army was. They were taking selfies with everybody. They had this pride in their eyes when the people were there.
Talking about the army, this was one thing. If Robert Mugabe's weapon was a myth, all these years since back then in the 90s, I mean, just 99, 2000, the reason why a lot of people were always afraid of getting up and standing up for themselves and marching was this mythical fear of the army.
Yeah.
Him being commander-in-chief of the defense forces and everybody taking orders from him, people were afraid of the army. If you really think back, for us in the cities, I can't speak for people in the rural areas, but for us in the cities, police dealt with us. The riots dealt with us.
Yeah.
There's not a single day that the army came out and started shooting people, beating people.
Mm.
But I think the logic was, if the police can do this to us,
yes,
what can the army do?
Yeah. So and everybody was always scared all the time.
Always scared of the army. As soon as the army was like, you know what, do what you want to do, we're not going to question it. People found or people let out their true emotions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And just to see the army supporting you, I think it's something that was incredible. Of course, I didn't appreciate what I constantly was seeing on international media, where they would show this one of the military guys running and just trying to control people with a gun raised. And they played that constantly. And it looked like there was some sort of violence going on in Zimbabwe.
That should have been one incident when someone captured that one guy doing that. But most likely it was in Harare, because in Bulawayo there was no army presence at the march.
Yeah. You know where that was? That was when people at the march decided, let's march to Robert Mugabe's residence.
And then they're like,
and
no.
All along, this is the army. This is what the army is saying. Robert Mugabe is safe. We're actually protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to get him into any danger.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, marchers, this is a multitude. Their energy. Somebody suggests something. They all decide to march to Robert Mugabe's house.
Yeah.
So the only way that soldier felt, you know, I can control them, hold my gun up, and then
everybody.
Because he's signaling to everybody with his hand, not with his gun. He's got the gun up, people can see the gun, but he's signaling with his hand. Yeah. Sit down, chill, sit down.
We've got this under control.
So, yes.
Yeah. So, but let's talk about the balance of trying to protect also the citizens and the first family, because, you know, like you're saying, they felt obligated. It was like an obligation for them to also protect the president, because he was still a president by that time, right?
It's an obligation. Mm-hmm. Basically, with the way countries work, the most important person in the land is the president.
Yes.
You know, if anything, a nuclear holocaust or aliens started attacking,
aliens,
the first person, the army or the security forces are going to try and get to safety is the president.
It's the president, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else after that in a certain hierarchy, I don't know. I don't think I'm on the priority list.
You've been like, if you talk to me next, I can put you on the list.
Like, I don't think I'm on that priority list. You know, a lot of us are not on that priority list. So basically, that was the thing. This is why they kept trying to guarantee the president is safe.
Yeah, all right.
They tried to guarantee the people. They tried to guarantee the AU, the SADC. You know, other governments, the president is safe. We are not endangering the president. We're just trying to uproot enemy elements around the president.
And protect the president from the citizens, because the citizens were angry.
You keep trying to damage all our
equipment. Exactly. Like that was the idea behind the whole exercise and the protection of the president.
All right. And then on Sunday, things just turned up a little bit also interesting, because in the morning, churches were called in to pray for the nation, and also seeing the role of the church actually playing a good positive part, I guess.
There were prayers being held in Harare, there were prayers in Bulawayo. I mean, there were prayers almost everywhere. Yes, in Bulawayo, I think, Igemo. There were prayers almost everywhere. People praying for the nation. Sunday was...
But Sunday is always a prayer day, so, I mean...
Yeah, but Sunday we had a stillbirth, right?
Yes.
Okay. There was a stillbirth on Sunday.
Stillbirth. No, this is one of the things also. I think people were now too impatient.
Mm-hmm.
They really wanted a result from the army on Wednesday moving into the president's residence.
Yes.
Saturday, the marches.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, the president's going to give a statement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, people were now impatient. People wanted him to step down.
Yeah.
Which is why, for me, I felt all the way we're on course.
Mm.
One of the things, one of the things the army, the ZANU-PF, were trying to do is follow as much a legal process as possible.
Mm.
And sometimes legal things don't just happen there and then.
But why delay the inevitable?
No, but also, I mean, it has to be a process. You just don't grow from a seed to a tree. It's a process that you have to go through. And we possibly had to experience that as citizens also for us to sort of like understand. Because I don't think many of us actually know the constitution and the legal side of doing things at all.
My point is, you enter a competition.
Uh-huh.
You win a car. You don't drive off. Yes, I know they advertise the competition as you drive off with the car right there. But you don't drive off with the car right there.
Mm-mm.
You go there, you go get a car, they let you get in it, study it, you know, feel it.
Mm. Take
but
photos.
Then they're going to say, take photos.
And then they're gonna we saw a deal on Sunday. We took like photos inside the car.
Exactly. Take photos. And then suddenly, no, come to our offices
to get the car.
And then when you get there on Monday, they tell you, do you have a license? No. Go get a license.
Okay.
We're not going to give you the car if you don't have a license.
So I guess it's just like sex. I mean, you have the whole foreplay and the kissing.
Yes, exactly.
And someone gets wet and ready, and then actually you indulge.
Really, Kimo? Really?
No, but that's how it is, right?
Okay.
No, I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
You should tell us. Experience. I'm a virgin.
Oh, you're a virgin all of a sudden. Like, interesting. But then also... Calm down, gentlemen. You're getting excited. But then the Sunday, the removal of the president from ZANU-PF completely was kicked out, right? The former president, I would have to say. Was it
not really kicked
out? No, you
say
kicked out. It's nasty. The guy has been president for a long time.
Yeah.
Can't just kicked out.
You can't be kicked out.
But wasn't he kicked out from ZANU-PF?
Not kicked out.
He was
removed from position.
He was voted out. He wasn't removed. I think he was still seated there. like no one removed him from anything. But yes, he was voted out. Like this ZANU-PF, what committee?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Sterling, whatever. They've got a fancy name for it.
We always have fancy names.
Yeah, they went to British school, so
okay.
They've got a fancy name for it. So they voted him out.
Mm-hmm.
As leader.
Okay.
It's not like
ZANU-PF. But so he wasn't kicked out.
He doesn't lose. Yes, he doesn't lose his ZANU-PF membership card.
All right.
I think it's the oldest card. Party. But then he's just voted out as leader of ZANU-PF. Oh,
okay. He becomes an OCCM, ordinary card carrying member.
Exactly.
That's if he still wants to carry your card.
If he remembers to carry the card. But then, I mean, things turned up, like the heat was put up a little bit in the evening, because I remember there was the whole anticipation of the speech and the resignation speech per se, and everyone was expecting that. And I, for one, could not even go to the toilet to take a leak on that particular Sunday evening, because there was this anticipation that, okay, it's going to happen at 7 p.m. It went on to 8 p.m. and finally 9 p.m. it happened.
Yeah, that's when you realize sometimes, that's when you realize that freedom cannot be masturbated. That was...
Again with the sex talk.
No, I mean, look, what
this
happened?
This is an afternoon show.
It is
like
an afternoon show.
2 p.m.
No, but what happened that day? What happened that day? It's like, Saturday was foreplay, like you said.
Exactly.
Saturday was foreplay. In Sunday night, you're like, now this is the real thing. And then there's masturbation.
Then you didn't get lucky.
Yeah.
Go home and you're like, you know what? I really need to get, you know, these rage emotions out of me.
But it was such a sad... many people were watching on Sunday. Even international news was just hooked to
when you say many people were watching and predicting the event, the whole world was watching.
But now, that's the thing. Who said he was going to resign on Sunday? He was just edged. You know, when they voted him out as leader of ZANU-PF,
mm-hmm.
they then went on to say, please, resign from your position mm-hmm. as president of Zimbabwe. Because mm-hmm. ZANU-PF can't chase him away from the president's job.
They can't.
Yes, they were urging him to resign. It's not like automatically that meant on Sunday I'm going to give a speech that says I'm resigning.
But constitutionally also, is it legal for him to actually announce that he's resigning on a national broadcasting network?
Apparently, you can only resign to the Speaker of Parliament.
Yes, not him personally.
Not on ZBC.
Or on any other BC Broadcasting Corporation.
BBC, or network.
Yes. No, not on any of those. He has to put it in formal writing to the Speaker of Parliament, who will in turn announce it as soon as possible or within the 24 hours.
But then I like the way it drew out. You know, it's like telling your friends, like, it's a dare. I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your friends are telling you, we're going to remove you. And say like, I know you guys. You guys have been friends for forever. You can't do that. And then suddenly, you know, you're watching the process and like, oh, okay, so these guys are serious. They're going to impeach me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. You know, like when you play Crazy 8,
mm-hmm.
and someone claims out, I've got a card remaining, and then someone just throws like a joker.
A five.
Yeah, like that's what happened.
Five.
You know, they're like, okay, we're going to impeach you. This like, okay, there's my joker.
No, but now, I think information goes, Mugabe would have resigned quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jacob Zuma was one of the major problems.
Okay, how was it?
This is what is said. I mean, even when they communicated, when the army went and you know, put the president under protection,
mm-hmm.
Which was house arrest, but we didn't want to call it house arrest.
We also didn't want to call the coup a coup.
Yes, something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, he managed to communicate with who? Jacob Zuma, who is the chair
for SADC, right?
For SADC, yeah. Right? And so on communication with Jacob Zuma, this is when things changed, where they started stalling, because now there is this muscle called SADC that's not going to recognize.
But it's been useless for many years.
SADC's been useless. AU's been useless. We used to learn in history that NATO was a toothless bulldog.
So SADC is a toothless bulldog.
It's not even a dog. At least a dog can bark and be scary. It's a teddy bear that makes a barking sound. I don't know.
Right.
Jacob Zuma, I think, was giving Mugabe the ammunition to be stubborn. Even when he sent a delegation, seemingly he could have sent any elderly, whatever member. He had up to 20 people to choose from. And he chooses the head of intelligence and the head of security and things like that. What's up with that?
He could have calmed down himself.
He didn't want to set a precedence, because you know what? Encouraging the next guy to step down because the army has besieged him was going to send a wrong message, say maybe to the world.
To his own country. Because they've been trying to impeach him for quite a while.
And he
doesn't want to turn Zimbabwe into that landmark. Like, okay, Zimbabweans did it. We've been wanting to do this to you, Jacob Zuma. We're going to do it now.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part and parcel of the fears from where we are standing, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But one of the things I know is Jacob Zuma was giving Mugabe ammunition not to step down. When the old man wanted to, I mean, he's been there for quite a while.
I'm sure he's been hired
a long time ago, you know.
And the impeachment letter, actually, you know, it was supposed to be, they were given on Monday, right?
Monday.
It was given on Monday. And then firstly, there was the parliament that went on.
Mm-hmm.
After the impeachment letter, was read by S.K. Moyo.
S.K. Moyo is also one person who was in a shitty position. He accepted a shitty job. He was the reader. Like, he read the letter to fire Mnangagwa.
Yes.
He read, he read something else again.
He keeps reading. Because he's publicity.
And then the army was like, you know what, we're just going to make you read now. And then the next thing, because he had read something after firing Mnangagwa about how Mugabe is legitimate and what.
Yes, yes. And then the next day,
you are coming back and reading how Mugabe is not legitimate.
It's called politics, guys. It's politics, guys.
I think that was a metaphorical apologist for SK Moyo. They couldn't put the apologist on him.
Yeah.
And they were like, metaphorically, we're just going to make you look like a fool out there, you know?
Hey, guys.
Talking of fools. Have you seen the number of guys that have switched on the president?
A lot.
I'm sorry to say this, but Superman Redzilla is just something else.
No, I think Superman Redzilla's got the ammunition to switch.
Remember
Superman Redzilla's wife and how...
This rumor, how true is it?
Well, we don't know. Where there is smoke, there's fire. That's what we say.
Sometimes there's no fire, there's just smoke.
Yeah, there might be a cigarette.
But there'll be heat somewhere.
So yeah, I mean, a lot of people, for me, it says two things. Either these ZANU-PF dudes are, you know, cowards and sneaky like that.
The reeds.
Yeah. Or two, they were really afraid of Mugabe.
That was my next question. Like, okay, why were they quiet all this time? Most of the people, why were they quiet all this time?
You know, fear around the former president is something that you cannot throw away. There are so many reports that people were afraid to say that are slowly coming out now of things that happened during his reign. And I'm sure the next few weeks, in a few months, I won't have a lot more coming up. But people are afraid of the guy. The guy was ruthless. I'm sorry to say this, but the guy was ruthless with dealing with his enemies, perceived enemies.
Yes. His paranoia, perceived enemy. Sometimes an enemy is an enemy because I'm paranoid. Not because they're really an enemy.
You're just paranoid.
You know, I'm just paranoid and like that.
Which is true.
Which is true.
And the parliament, gentlemen, I mean, things turned up quite in a different direction, because first there was a parliament in the sitting that happened in the morning. Then
No. First, there was a cabinet meeting called by the former president.
And no one turned up.
And only a few guys turned up. Madim, Bimam, Mbwende, and what's his name? The attorney general and all that. And now, the most interesting thing is Mbwende and Bima are said to be relatives of former first lady.
Oh, right. That's why they turned up.
I mean, you gotta go where your bread is buttered, right?
Yeah.
So those guys that showed up, I'm sure that should have been the first sign from Mugabe that things are surely coming to an head now.
Yes.
Then
the parliament happened
on Tuesday. The sitting with the senator, because with the impeachment there to sit with the Senate.
Yes.
And now suddenly the parliament house was too small.
So they moved to HICC, the International Conference
Center. Yes, and before they could get into the matter of the day, they received a letter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like on your payday, when you go out drinking, open like, the SMS is going to come, definitely.
Definitely.
Yes,
I'll open a tab at the bar. I know, definitely, this one's coming.
But then, I mean, I also think that was a very clever move for the president, because what could have happened if he was impeached, actually?
Ooh, that's embarrassing.
What could have happened?
That's embarrassing.
I mean, but what is embarrassment for a 94-year-old man who's...
His legacy, guys.
You know what?
What legacy is there left?
So, with the impeachment, there's no immunity.
All right.
You're getting arrested. For every crime that they think about you, you're about to stand trial for that. If you resign, the next guy might decide, nah, no, look, for what you've done for the country, are willing to let everything go.
So that was a clever move, we would say.
Yeah, that was the only move.
But it was done prior to the impeachment, so meaning they were still too fast for the impeachment to actually happen.
I'm sure the letter was written earlier. He was just waiting for the right time to deliver it. He just wanted to see how far his friends were true with their impeachment motives.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know nothing about impeachment.
But my question to you, gents, is, so after all this has happened, when the president eventually passes on, do you think he's going to be buried? Let's say you were in power, would you bury him as a hero, as a national hero, or not?
The Heroes Acre is full of people who are called heroes but who ain't heroes. So really,
he can go there.
He can go there.
Yeah. But surely anything. He has done something for the nation, for the Zimbabwe nation.
Yeah, but it's like walking on snow.
Yeah, he's told us to wake up. Like
it's like walking on snow. You can't celebrate walking on snow. You take one step forward and slip two back. I mean, you can't say you're walking, you're moving forward.
All right, for me, for the legacy of Zanu-PF as well, I think they would make him a national hero.
Yeah.
For that part that he was their boss and they managed to loot as much as they could together heroically, you know.
But also we can't run away from that. There's some certain elements that he played. I mean, there's something that he played for us as a nation.
Ndabaning Sithole is the man behind formation of Zanu.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a hero's echo.
Yeah.
Was just it like not his family's?
No, just because he clashed with Mugabe.
Okay.
So
he's not even if you Google Zanu-PF, he's not even amongst the founders.
Oh, but okay. He is the founder.
Mm. All right.
So now for me, Heroes Acre is just like any other.
Jens, isn't it beautiful that you have so much freedom of speech all of a sudden?
Well,
I've always
said some of these things, and people have said, "Are you not afraid?"
What did Idi Amin say? He said you do have freedom of speech, but I can't guarantee you freedom after
speech.
So is it the same situation now? Oh, no, that's way past.
No. Right now, we don't know. I mean, that's the thing is, there's two things now with Mnangagwa. He understands the Zanu-PF system and how it's worked.
Yes.
And he knows that's what we've marched against.
And that's what we're fighting against.
That's what we're fighting against. Mm. And so if he comes in with the same iron fist that Mugabe had,
mm-hmm.
he's going to have a problem on his hands.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's going to be forced now to outrightly kill people.
Yeah.
You know?
But
now if he understands it and says, you know what? Because there's only one way in which right now mm-hmm. he could make Zimbabweans, people in Zimbabwe and around the world, have faith in him.
What
he could just make the economy work. We are willing to put aside, not forget, put aside every reason why we dislike him, every crime that we know he did, everything, long as he makes the
things work,
economy work. We don't care about political rhetoric whatsoever and all that. As long as he makes the economy begin to develop in a positive direction,
mm-hmm.
we are willing to give him that benefit of the doubt.
So all you want is a better Zimbabwe,
We want a better Zimbabwe, which is why we're saying, okay, we might not like the guy,
mm-hmm.
but let's give him benefit of the doubt. We know it's a Zanu-PF thing, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
He has tried though. Mm-hmm. He has tried. Like, his inauguration,
mm-hmm.
the warning was, this is not a Zanu-PF thing.
Mm.
This is a national thing.
Mm.
No party regalia.
Yes. Mm.
So let's not judge him on his address to Zanu-PF, because that's an internal thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
But his address to the nation now as a president, that's where we have to start drawing the line. And also, let's look at... You are willing to set aside, but how many of us are willing to set aside some of these things if they're not spoken about
mm-hmm.
truthfully and honestly? They won't be healing.
So we need to deal with these issues as soon as possible,
because they're all
under the carpet at the moment.
As soon as possible.
It's like taking a bandage and wrapping around a wound without dressing the wound.
Yeah.
But now, what do we do? What do we do? We deal with these issues. We have a man who's trying to make Zimbabwe work, and we're busy bringing up old wounds. I don't know. I'm not saying we should not, but I'm saying, just like we did in the past week, let's focus, right? We need to remove this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's remove that guy. Right now, this new guy is in. We can focus on throwing every crime that he's done at him and trying to get justice. Or we can say, dude, we're giving you the benefit of the doubt. 3 months down the line, we want positive results. Mm-hmm. If we do not get positive results and we see unscrupulousness, because, I mean, this is the guy who, as vice president, proposed in parliament, let's have four roadblocks a region. Right? We all know that was good for us. It just didn't pass because it needed a lot of other people to vote for it in parliament.
So but now also, that is also remember, during that era, the police were making a lot of money with the Roblox. Yeah. There is no way they were going to agree to it. You guys, have you ever traveled a distance, Bulawayo to Plumtree? Thank you for the question. Bulawayo to Plumtree is like 100 kilometers.
Yes.
But the number of Roblox on there,
dude,
exactly,
was just scary. I remember a guy came from Vic Falls and was telling me from Vic Falls to Bulawayo he'd gone through, was
I
it
counted,
was 12. It, was it 11 Roblox? The guy told me 12. Of 11 Roblox.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like 430 kilometers. We don't need that.
We don't.
You don't need that.
So do we need to get rid of the police, though?
During the week when the police were arrested by the army.
Yeah. Which was good.
Ain't nobody was in a cell, though.
Everyone who traveled the highway was full of praise for the army.
Uh-huh. Like, yeah, because all those dudes just asked us, may we see your ID?
Not even the driver's license.
No. Like, people were saying you can literally drive in reverse to Harare right now. And no one is going to ask you anything. And you look at again, I come back to saying, you look at the amount of casualties. When the president resigned, how many casualties were there? There's only one that I saw on social media of a guy who was excited with a Chovambayua combi and it overturned. One person died.
Then there's another one I saw of a guy. Apparently, this guy went on top of a truck, the orange trucks, Konyet, as you call them, and he was dancing on top there, and I'm told he fell off.
This is during the celebration.
During the celebration, after Mugabe resigned.
Yes.
So, but those are few accidents compared to what used to happen when the police were on the road.
Yeah, exactly. Because people would be trying to run away from the police.
Throwing spikes, throwing spikes and all those kind of things.
Obet Mpofu has a hand in that, no?
In the throwing of spikes.
Of the spikes for the police.
And you see him standing behind him, like, I'm all innocent, please, I'm here, see me. Ah, come on.
No, but forgive the guy. The guy he's got to have his day in the sun. Remember how Jonathan Moyo used to embarrass him? I remember, and I quote, you have the body of an elephant, but the brain of a rat. End quote.
Jonathan Moyo. And where is Jonathan Moyo today?
Well, where is everybody today? But you know what? What's amazing for me is the amount of people that were on the streets celebrating when the president resigned. So the question then is, when he would do all these rallies, where were the people coming from? Because the amount of people was so much, it was almost equivalent to the amount of people that turned up when he was in Bulawayo or in Harare doing a campaign or something.
You see, the same weapon, let me tell you one, the same weapon that Mugabe has used against opposition, against people over the years, the same weapon that ZANU-PF used against him. On the day that before the marches, ZANU-PF was giving people free transport from Bulawayo to Harare.
And they do that even
a friend of mine who is a journalist said, you know what, I want to go to Harare. I'm broke. I don't have enough money, but I'm going to go to Davis Hall for transport. He texted me while at Davis Hall. I'm seated inside a bus. There is 20 bus loads. We are inside a North Lee bus.
No,
there is 20 bus loads, free transport. We're being given oranges right now.
And bananas, you know, too?
Well, I don't know about bananas, but I know. I know. But my point being, in his rallies, people were passed from all over the world. The country. People were. That's what killed Zupko. Come on.
Yeah, you know, you can't run on rented crowds. You know, once you rent a crowd, you can only do that for so long. That's why when they came to Bulawayo with their rented crowd, they came to Bulawayo, they met the Bulawayo crowd, which actually, in my view, made everything move faster. Remember the cheering when the first lady was speaking, the former first lady was speaking,
yes,
the cheering and the singing and all that, and it angered Mugabe in a way.
But wasn't that the Maswingo and Gweru crowd? Like right now, I'm thinking we're getting crowds mixed up.
But singing into it, I say Zunda.
Okay, that was our crowd.
That's our
Bulawayo crowd.
That's our Bulawayo crowd.
See, Islanders and Dynamos issues coming into play.
Yeah, no, it's always gonna end up by Islanders and Dynamos.
Yeah. So, gentlemen, I also spoke to Tinei Mukwewa, who's an executive director of Abameli Human Rights Lawyers Network, just to get like a side of, you know, the legalities, the constitution, and just understanding on the legal side of this entire bizarre per se. And here is what he had to say.
In terms of the constitution, if the president resigns, the last vice president to have been the acting president becomes the one who takes over. If I may try to predict the kind of team that he is likely to have, the speculation that he is likely to be one of the presidents, and he might try also to satisfy the ZAPU elements within the party. So definitely in the ZAPU elements, he might rope in Comrade Dumiso Tabengwa from ZAPU. Then he might also try to satisfy the gender dynamics by roping in Comrade Teurai Roka. At the same time, he might also embrace Morgan Tsvangirai, but it might be difficult to embrace Comrade Tsvangirai. At what position would you place Comrade Tsvangirai unless if you create a national transitional authority and abrogate the constitution? Because currently the constitution does not have the post of a prime minister. So that might be difficult, but he might embrace Tendai Biti, as Tendai Biti restored national confidence, and he has a lot of international respect. So in that regard, he might bring Tendai Biti on board.
All right, let's take a breather and just go into MTV Sugar, which is a drama series that creates awareness on how young people or people in general across the African continent are getting exposed to HIV and AIDS. Here is 5 Minutes with Sugar. That's how we do it down south,
boy. That's what they call it down south. Welcome to MTV Sugar Down South. This is Reggie's story. Got a mall like, oh my, look at me, I'm so fly. Back then, got no love, not a hoes, they say hi. Skinny dude with my jeans ripped, Nike's all on my feet, bro. Bucking up on my head, so looking good, so these turn-ups are all the same. Everyone looking for someone to hook up with and making me feel weird because I'm not interested. Q, just don't let up. Like, give me a break, bruh, please. Don't you have a girl at home or something?
Oh, yo, Ntwana, do you believe in second chances? You see that mommy game over there, dog? Yo, that short one is fire. You have to be my wingman, boy. Come on, dude. Like, we can't be the only ones without girls, bruh.
And then I saw him. This pure, raw expression of freedom. Wow. I knew right then I'd never be the same again.
Hey, what are you doing, dude?
Eh?
Oh, you're doing it wrong. We're supposed to go there and talk to them, not take random pictures. Let's go.
Oh, wait. Antoine, Ploma. Not now. Q, please, relax.
You're useless. You know that.
Q, gotta be out. Don't do anything I wouldn't, eh? You know what to do.
Let me go do my thing.
I got out of there as fast as I could. I was confused. What just happened? When I need to think, there's only one thing that helps. I need to tag a wall. When I felt kinda like myself again, I went home.
So busy ngalezi nto zakho futhi, huh? Busy moshana na maproperty wabantu. Bathini ke abantu Reggie maso uboshiwe for into snacks kanje?
Your dad is worried about you, my boy. You can't be out all hours of the night.
No, Cynthia. Uncle worried. Ngkwatile and I'm disappointed. Lomfana ubhizi ngale nonsense yakhe futhi.
It's not nonsense, it's art.
Art? Are rubbish, man. Lento yakho ivandalism. Finish it, Clara.
I should have known what to expect. We go through the same thing all the time. It's getting old now. All I really want to do is go to my room.
Puma na. Puma!
My dad just doesn't get me. Never has.
My mom tries, but the old man is so stubborn. Why can't he just let me be myself? So I go to my room and find myself stalking Delisa and following me.
Delisa?
Reggie, stop it. You're acting like a crazy person. Oh no, I just liked the pic of his by mistake. I quickly unlike it and close my computer. Go to bed, Reg. You're losing your mind. Next thing, I find myself outside his work. I'm not even sure how I got there. It's like an alien has taken over my body and it's making me do things I don't want to do. Oh no, there he is. I better duck.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Reggie! Reggie! It is Reggie, right?
Yeah, I don't know, maybe, yeah.
Maybe. You do know that when you like someone's picture on Follow Me and you try to remove it, that the person still gets the notification, right?
Busted.
Yeah, about that. Look, sorry, I didn't mean to...
Chill, chill. It's okay. Delisa.
Reggie.
Listen, come walk with me.
No, look, I don't know. See, I'm not really like that, so...
Like what?
What I mean is, I don't want to give you the wrong idea, so...
Idea about? Are you coming?
So, I went with him. I couldn't help myself. I mean, there's just this undeniable pull. I've never felt like this before.
See, I've been waiting, waiting for you. You got that real and I've been getting impatient. Searching for something that's true. That's what you do. Now I ain't gotta look no more from.
Wait, hold on. There. Now the piece is done.
I can't believe I'm showing him my graffiti. I never show anyone my work. But somehow, I just know I'm safe with him.
This is dope.
You think so?
Yeah, really, really dope. Well, thank you for showing me part of who you are.
Yeah, it's easy for me to talk to you.
There's something magical about a piece of art. The first glance draws you in completely. The world around you stops, and you're hypnotized.
Welcome back. That was 5 minutes with Sugar, and we're still in studio with social commentator Itai Moroi, and of course, our resident Swarelu Motobe. And we were listening to Tinay, who is an executive director of Abameli Human Rights Lawyers Network, and was talking about how the now president of Zimbabwe has to bring in some people to make this thing work. So does it mean that he has to bring an entire new group of people to start working again?
I would think it's important to announce a cabinet which is different from what we are used to. Mm-hmm. Not entirely 100% new people, but let's bring in the new faces, people with ideas, because we're tired of recycled people.
Recycled people. But then there's already people like AC Lumumba who has gone to changing his position on social media, on Facebook rather, saying that he's already working in the Ministry of Youth and something like that.
Well, for me, I think that's where we make a mistake in Zimbabwe. Where, you know, people are appointed into positions based on loyalty over qualification. Mm. Most of these ministers who are heading certain ministries, many of them did not initially have practical experience. Some of them will tell you we've got PhDs, yes, mm-hmm. but not many of them have practical experience in actually working in the field. Mm-hmm. Chinamasa was Minister of Finance,
yes,
but he's never been Minister of Finance anywhere else.
So yeah. What are you saying about Chombo?
Exactly, that's who I was supposed to talk about.
Not Chombo. Chinamasa.
Chombo was Minister of Finance and stole money.
Guys, how much money is 10 million, right?
He was found with 10 million in his
hard cash.
Who was found with money in his house.
He being the finance minister, I'm sure he was doing some, trying to do some maths on how to...
He was administering finances.
Yes,
in his house.
Yes.
taking the work to the house.
Yes. You know?
Like we always do as people, though. We take our work to the house. That's what he was doing.
Yeah, he was really serious. I think we did not appreciate him much.
But then his rise to fame is just because he's a Kutama old boy.
And
it's interesting, really, the kind of ministers we had. And there's what's
past
his name?
Tense, man. The past tense.
We had. Okay, fine. There's Yamamoto. What's his name? Ken Yamamoto. When we were speaking of Jonathan Moyo, the kind of the man Jonathan Moyo was. I need to quote this because it was quite interesting, really, reading about it.
Uh-huh.
Because
and Jonathan Moyo himself is very active on social media, especially on Twitter. And
not anymore. Not since the army stepped in. I was like, you know what? You're abusing that phone.
So they took away the phone.
I don't know.
Okay. On a con Ken Yamamoto here, he was Newsday.
Uh-huh.
One of them, Jonathan Moyo,
mm-hmm.
I described him as an underachieving incompetent. Who is all froth and no beer, all sizzle and no steak, all hit and no cowboy, end quote. Not my words.
All froth and no beer.
Yes.
You had to say that because you are a big fan of beer.
Unfortunately.
You had to say that.
Unfortunately, I won't deny that.
So let's just hear more from Tine, because we just posed a few questions and it got so much to say, and just helping us to understand on the constitutional side of things of Zimbabwe.
The first thing that Comrade Dambudzo Mnangagwa is likely to do is that he will have an anti-corruption trust. The anti-corruption trust, if he is to sacrifice a number of ZANU-PF elements, G40 elements that were corrupt, he would restore confidence in the people. If he is to also change a number of permanent secretaries, he is also likely to restore national confidence. A number of ministers. If he is also to throw an olive branch towards the opposition, that would likely gravitate him towards the citizenry of Zimbabwe. What is also important is that if he were to also talk issues of national reconciliation, especially in regard to Gukura Hundi issue, he is likely to ingratiate himself with the public in Zimbabwe. If he was to also be able to talk about the devolution of power in the provinces by allowing the provincial councils that are envisaged by the constitution to operate, he is likely to ingratiate himself with the public, as the different political provinces would want to have autonomy on how their resources are spent. So if he was to play that critical role of operationalizing the key elements of devolution of power, he is likely to ingratiate himself with the public in Zimbabwe.
Thank you, Tine, for that insight. Talking about reconciliation, is this something that you think is important for Zimbabwe? I think we touched a bit on it earlier.
Healing is important for the nation to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
It is necessary. We need that.
So if possibly Emmerson Mnangagwa touches on that, you think he will gain a lot of faith from the citizens?
Most likely, yes.
Okay.
I think as Zimbabweans, we also have this mistake of valuing the non-valuables at a particular point.
Okay.
I would say, go in there, dude, hit the ground running. Focus on the economy, because that's been our problem.
Yes.
All these years. This is why you've got so many Zimbabweans in the diaspora. You've got all that. Hit the ground running. Make sure the economy works.
Then
everything else will just fall into play.
All right.
You know.
But you don't brush issues under the carpet.
Yes, we're not brushing anything under the carpet. We're just making what doesn't work right now.
Being president and being CEO are the same. You don't have to do everything on your own. You gotta have a team that you delegate some of these things to.
Which is why it's important for him to get a new team, new ministers, and whoever to join him.
Because you know, as much as I want to see Dabengo up there, I'm trying to think, okay, what does Dabengo have a track record for, except that, you know, it will be satisfying my tribal list, the tribal that's, list in
yeah,
me,
yeah, yeah.
Want to see Ndebele is up for someone in there, because it's politically correct and I know it gets you support.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be the man that people don't like but I get the job done than be the man that everybody likes but I am getting nothing done.
Okay. Because we are almost running out of time, transitional government, should we consider that or we should just go straight into elections in 2018?
I for one, I'm for, look, let's do elections in 2018.
All right.
Let's go for it. I mean, what's there to lose anyway?
I think for us, yes. But now, you're looking at the president of the country. The reason why Mnangagwa took this route to become president is because he knew people wouldn't vote for him if it came to an election.
All right.
Really? You
know, I think that's the reason why he took this military, not coup,
intervention,
step down, resign, house arrest, taking good care of the president. Because I think he noticed, like, if it came down to a vote, Nkosana Moyo would win if he was riding against, people wouldn't vote for him.
All right. That's your view, I guess.
All I'm saying is, let's do these elections.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what's there to lose? What's there not to lose?
Okay, so we money. Can money. So you feel elections will actually waste our money?
No, elections throughout the time in Zimbabwe have always wasted money because the result is predictable, the result is the same. We have no evidence of rigging, but basically, you know, and so until such a time that we are able to hold elections in such a way that is satisfactory to everybody on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Then yes, I think elections are a way.
So the way forward is elections. So we're encouraging everyone to go register and vote in 2018, right?
Are you registered, Kimo?
I'm actually going to register now. I had not registered before because I didn't see any point in registering.
Are you registered, sorry?
No.
So he will do it, actually.
And I don't complain, usually. I'm the kind of guy who just keeps working. I never complain.
So he's one of those that just keeps quiet. Gentlemen, it's amazing to have you in studio. Itai, you should just come and join us. Would love to have you here permanently.
Give me a contract and I'll sign.
So I would like to
we'll need Gilmore to step down.
We need to step down.
Should I organize a match party?
Please do. A solidarity match.
And if I find Chiwengo, let's find him at his grey roof.
And it should be done. So where do we get a hold of you on social media?
Twitter @Muroi, Instagram @Muroi. Facebook, Itai Muroi.
Alright, thank you so much. Alright, that was it for today. So if you have any thoughts, please let us know on all social media platforms. The hashtag is GTEE Vibe. And you can tweet me at Gilmore TEE or at CliffCentral.com. I would love to hear your thoughts and I would love to hear from you. From me to everybody who was listening, have a peaceful day and be productive towards Zimbabwe. My name is Gilmore T, the Global Citizen, and you are listening to the Gilmore T Vibe. Until next week, cheers. CliffCentral.com